It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday, everyone. I'm Bill Price. One more day of wicked winter weather.
Whiteouts, windblown. It's just winter again here in upstate New York.
Blizzard warnings have now expired, but lake effect snow warnings continue through tomorrow. The Tug Hill Plateau just east of Lake Ontario could see up to 4 feet of snow by then. Forecaster Bill Caron says the heaviest snow has been falling between Syracuse and Watertown.
There's still a little bit of snow outside of Cleveland, too. Buffalo hasn't gotten too much. Most of it's been south of there. But this band here is, you know, about as impressive as you get with these snowfall rates. Someone will end up probably with 3, maybe even 4 feet of snow by the time it ends on Saturday.
Rare blizzard warnings were up yesterday for 11 upstate counties in New York. Caron says that doesn't happen very often.
We had the blowing and the drifting of the snow with 40 to 50 mile per hour winds. And on top of that, we had the heavy lake effect snow. The worst of it was in the rural areas north of Syracuse and also south of Buffalo in the very typical snow town.
By early next week, a lot of places will be above 50 degrees again with all that snow on the ground. Flooding will be the big concern then. Coronavirus, the big concern on Wall Street.
When there's a level of anxiety because of an unknown, many investors would prefer to sell and ask questions later.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Uncertainty about the coronavirus sent stocks tumbling on Wall Street again today for the third time this week. The Dow was down over 1,000 points. This after coming off its biggest one-day drop ever yesterday.
You're on track to have the worst week for stock performance in percentage terms since the financial crisis, since October of 2008.
Today, the World Health Organization said the coronavirus outbreak has pandemic potential, and the economic concerns seem to be spreading faster than the virus itself.
It's never the time to panic, and I think that's true and has been true for the 30 years I've been doing this. Panicking is always the wrong thing to do.
Market strategist Art Hogan, there are more than 82,000 cases of coronavirus in 52 countries and on every continent save but one. Antarctica.
It looks like it's going to become possibly a global pandemic. And so that the demand for American goods are going to drop elsewhere. And I think that's why we're seeing such huge drops in the stock market.
Foreign policy analyst Mike Santo. Health officials in California, meantime, want some answers on the patient who had no link to overseas travel or apparently anyone else with the virus. That person sought care at several different facilities.
There were multiple healthcare personnel who were exposed to the individual. Some of them are under isolation. Some of them will be under quarantine.
Dr. Bela Matias is the public health officer outside of Sacramento. 8,400 people currently being monitored for coronavirus in California. Correspondent Carter Evans says a Health and Human Services whistleblower now sounding off, too.
The complaint says those who monitored people at two military bases were improperly deployed and did not have the necessary training or equipment. Some worked without full protective gear. One even eventually took a commercial flight once the work was done. Now, one of the Air Force bases where this apparently happened is in the same county where the patient here became infected.
That's Carter Evans reporting from California. The number of U.S. labs that can test for coronavirus expected to top 90 by early next week. Dr. David Agus is a professor of medicine at USC.
What we're going to see very soon are quarantines. It's not if, but it's when and where. Companies say, hey, what's our work from home policy? Be aware that your children may have to take school from home. Get a week of dry food in your house.
The federal government already starting to stockpile face masks. And overseas today, the world famous Geneva Auto Show was canceled because of concerns over coronavirus. Tomorrow, primary day in South Carolina, the Democratic presidential candidates hoping to score a big win ahead of the all-important Super Tuesday next week. Former VP Joe Biden still ahead in the Palmetto State.
This nation isn't looking for a revolution. It's looking for results.
Biden says he is the only Democrat running that can beat Donald Trump. Frontrunner Bernie Sanders says that's not true.
I don't believe that Joe can beat Trump when people learn that he voted for the war in Iraq.
South Carolina would be the first win of the 2020 campaign for Joe Biden. Voter turnout, especially among African Americans, expected to be high tomorrow.
I want to hear what you're going to do for us, the minorities, as well as the college students and the disenfranchised.
African American mortality rate in women, and it's at an all-time high, and we're living in the 21st century.
President Trump will hold a big rally tonight in North Charleston, South Carolina, ahead of tomorrow's big primary. They're drying out today in Houston after a massive water main break turned a major freeway into a rising river.
I had to move my truck on a higher ground because it was getting close to the truck, so I was like, just in case.
A lot of schools in Houston closed today, and residents there being told to conserve water. A plan to open a medically supervised heroin injection site in Philadelphia has now been put on hold after some pushback from a federal prosecutor and from folks who live in the neighborhood where that site was supposed to be set up. City Councilman Kenyatta Johnson says the concerns were legit.
What was being proposed, and that's totally unacceptable. Most importantly, it's disrespectful to the people of South Philadelphia.
Advocates claim the injection site will help cut down the number of overdose deaths. Critics say it will only lead to greater drug abuse. Still to come this Friday, the Buffalo Diocese has filed for bankruptcy. One more day of winter weather and a fresh water well for Uganda.
Good afternoon. We're tracking lake effect snow squalls this afternoon and tonight. Your weekend starts cold, but the cold eases. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Friday, February 28th, bankrupt in Buffalo. Today, the Buffalo Diocese filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The Catholic Church in Western New York becomes the second diocese to financially fold under the weight of the clergy sex abuse scandal.
This has been coming a long time, clearly with over 200 cases that are being filed against them in Supreme Court. They made a decision that they needed to move things over to bankruptcy court.
That's attorney Steve Boyd. He says the bankruptcy filing today is a slap in the face to victims of clergy sex abuse.
The diocese has now turned this into a financial transaction. And for many of the survivors, a lot of this has been about getting to the bottom of what happened. And what I fear for our clients is we'll never get to the true bottom when they just shuffled the chairs in the deck of the Titanic and moved these priests around.
Buffalo now joins Rochester as the only diocese in New York State to file for bankruptcy protection. Nationwide, more than 20 dioceses have declared bankruptcy in response to the clergy sex abuse scandal that has spanned two decades. The blizzard warnings have now expired after a wild winter ride yesterday.
Over Lake Ontario, where the winds are coming completely across the long axis of the lake there, they've been seeing a fire hose of lake effect toward the Tug Hill region, even toward Watertown. Multiple, inches of snow and definitely like near zero visibility.
Jason Allenbaugh with the National Weather Service in Buffalo says even though the blizzard warnings are over, lake effect snow warnings continue for parts of ski country through tomorrow.
Right now, it looks like the heaviest lake effect snow and some blowing snow as well would be more late this afternoon and definitely into tonight.
By tomorrow, some areas of western New York could be looking at 2 feet of snow. Jason Allenbaugh says that could be a problem later next week.
Upper 30s on Sunday, then we're back into the upper 40s on Monday and could be even pushing 50 by Tuesday. So that snow, once it starts to melt, will kind of start to melt pretty quickly. And so we're going to have to watch out for potential river levels starting to rise up with this melting snow.
Allenbaugh says even with this latest blast of wintry weather, overall the season has been a mild one for New York and Pennsylvania. Forget the coronavirus. The flu has been one for the record books in New York this season. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The flu has been bad all across the country, but in New York, it's become historic. Over 131,000 cases of the virus have been confirmed this season, the highest number since the state started tracking that data in 1998. Officials say that number will continue to grow since flu season typically doesn't end until May. The silver lining is the amount of flu cases has dropped in recent weeks. Those numbers are down 26% since February 8th. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Local experts sounding off on the sell-off on Wall Street because of coronavirus.
When there are unknowns like this that happen, they create tremendous sell-offs.
Bob Kaplan, a financial advisor from Harrisburg, he says anytime there's a scare, the markets take a hit.
Concern of people flying anywhere and being exposed to a virus like this is reducing the amount of people on planes and in turn putting pressure on stocks.
Yesterday, the Dow saw its biggest one-day drop ever. When it comes to your investment, however, Bob Kaplan preaching patience, not panic.
Being invested in stocks after these tremendous drops are incredibly profitable.
The Kaplan says the markets will recover. It's going to take some time, though. He says most investments are a marathon, not a sprint. Some funny money making the rounds in Tioga County, New York. Family Life's Bob Price.
Yeah, authorities are investigating fake dollar bills that are circulating throughout the village of Owego. Police have identified three suspects responsible for distributing fake $10 and $20 bills. No arrests have been made yet. Authorities believe the fake bills came from outside the village of Owego. Cops say the funny money is easily identified as counterfeit. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. Federal and state officials have yet to find a compromise to allow New Yorkers back into the Trusted Traveler program, but acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf says there's a plan right now that would allow immigration and border officials to access DMV data without Social Security numbers. Wolf says this plan could lead to a solution. New York State at odds with Washington over the green light law that allows undocumented immigrants to get a driver's license. Pennsylvania now providing free naloxone kits to airports all across the Commonwealth. Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine.
This is a life-saving medication that is integral to our efforts in the opioid crisis. You cannot get addicted to naloxone. You can't get high from naloxone. All it does is save people's lives who are suffering from an overdose to an opioid.
Jennifer Smith is with the Department of Drug and Alcohol.
Just like a first aid kit would and should have an EpiPen to support individuals with severe allergies, that same first aid kit should include naloxone.
Airports in Williamsport, Scranton, University Park, Pittsburgh, Lancaster, and Philly all getting those naloxone kits. Fracking could be a key election issue this year in Pennsylvania, especially since two of the Democratic presidential candidates, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, have called for an outright ban on the practice. The latest Morning Call Muhlenberg College poll shows 42% of Pennsylvanians oppose a ban on fracking, 38 support a fracking ban, 20% undecided. Students at St. Peter and Paul School in Williamsville, New York, donating their own money to help bring fresh water to kids in Uganda.
We need to do something for them. So that's what we're really trying to do.
That's teacher Mary McIntyre. She says the project was a no-brainer. So far, the students have raised $1,500 to help build a fresh water well halfway around the world.
Kids walk 3 miles, get water that's not even clean. It was definitely like an eye-opening thing because it's something that we've never had to go through.
Not only were the students there able to raise enough money for a fresh water well in Uganda, but that school says the kids are just $800 away from having enough money to build a second well. Let's pause for sports sunny time. It's called your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start on the ice in Montreal where the Rangers remain hot. Adam Fox with one of four goals in the third. Blue Shirts knock off the Canadiens 5-2. Rangers head coach David Quinn.
I think that goal really kind of ignited us from the third period.
That's the fifth straight win for the Rangers. 9 out of their last 10 games. They're just 2 points out of the wild card. The Islanders have the top wild card spot, but they're struggling.
And he scores! Parayko! Goodbye! Good night! Game winner!
Losing to the Blues in St. Louis in overtime, New York has now lost six of their last eight games. Head coach Barry Trotz.
Within a few minutes of getting two, it was a little different. If you asked me before the game, would you take one in this building? Absolutely.
In San Jose, Logan Couture scored 38 seconds in overtime, lifting the Sharks by New Jersey 3-2. New Jersey had their three-game winning streak snapped. To the NBA, no Joel Embiid, no problem for the 76ers. They played without Embiid and Ben Simmons, still knocked off the Knicks 115-106. Head coach Brett Brown says Tobias Harris' 34 points and Shake Milton's 19 was the difference.
And we needed it all. And after a disappointing team performance, and I know they would wish they had that game back, for them and us to come out and respond as those two did was a great sign.
The 76ers 28-2 at home. Starting over with a new team and coach at the age of 42 does not intimidate Patriot legend Tom Brady. The six-time Super Bowl champ evaluating his free agent options with the intention of leaving New England. Brady cannot negotiate with another team until March 16th. On-field workouts continued today at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends all ran drills for scouts across the league yesterday at Lucas Oil Stadium. Running backs, place kicker, offensive linemen, and special teams players work out today. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delphiette.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Friday edition of the Noon Report, the Capital Connection crew all queued up, ready to go, plus kindness put to the test, literally, in Kentucky.
There are some things money shouldn't be able to buy. Parenthood is one of those things. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Writing at the Federalist last week, Kaylee Triller Haver remembered sitting in the legislature as the state of Washington legalized commercial surrogacy. Haver was struck by the lack of safeguards in the legislation. No background checks for would-be parents, no limits on the number of children they could order, no minimum compensation for surrogate mothers, no barriers against pedophiles or human traffickers who might exploit the kids created. Well, this month, New York is following suit, considering two similar bills that would legalize commercial surrogacy in that state. Like in Washington, the push in New York is being made with heartstring rhetoric and celebrity endorsement, Haver writes. But again, with almost no restrictions to prevent opening floodgates for the exploitation and commodification of women's bodies or the buying and selling of humans. An untold part of this whole story, by the way, is that among those pushing hardest for commercial surrogacy are gay couples. By the way, the sponsors of both bills currently before the New York State Assembly are openly gay. In New York, LGBT activists are mostly rooting for the less restrictive of the two bills on the table, insisting that any safeguards on commercial baby making would, quote, unfairly harm LGBTQ families. The safeguards that these activists oppose are the same as those that are applied to adoptive families, home studies, waiting periods, protections for birth mothers. According to a joint letter by several LGBT rights groups, such evaluations would be unthinkable for parents who plan to have children through sexual intercourse. Therefore, I suppose their logic goes, restrictions should also be unthinkable for couples unable to have procreative intercourse and who instead wish to buy someone's eggs and rent someone's womb in order to gestate a baby that they'll call their own. What we're seeing here is the logical conclusion of the ideology that brought a same-sex marriage in the first place. Gay unions were sold to the world with a slogan, love is love. And that's just another way of saying that biological sex, in other words, that we're male and female, and procreation are both irrelevant to marriage. And now, so many of those who intentionally chose sterile unions and argued that procreation is irrelevant to those unions are now demanding children. They're demanding procreation without sex. And they're demanding it as a right. And the only way to claim a right to what is impossible, because after all, same-sex couples cannot conceive children, is through a transactional workaround with women whose wombs they wish to rent. In other words, the sponsors of these bills want the reproductive abilities of mothers divorced from the mothers themselves. They want the wombs, but not the women. Of course, those who suffer in this cynical economic exchange, like in each and every chapter of the sexual revolution so far, are women and children. As Haver points out, surrogate mothers, or gestational carriers, as they're called, are at risk of permanent sterility or other serious health consequences from ovarian and hyperstimulation. The children whose rights are not even considered will grow up, and as we've seen in other situations, they'll want to know who they are and where they came from. Many in similar situations understandably condemn how they were conceived, bought, and sold like products. The European Parliament has already denounced surrogacy as an act of violence against women, and countries like India have recognized the built-in exploitation in the practice and outlawed it. Yet, if activists and legislators get their way in New York, it will soon welcome commercial surrogacy. And by doing so, they'll be endorsing the idea that families, including children, are commodities to be bought and sold. But it's always the women and children, especially the most vulnerable ones, who will pay the highest price. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour, the weekend is here.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Arctic cold arriving on a secondary cold front will mean more lake effect snow in the snowbelt areas of our region, and that will produce some rather tough travel. If you're not in one of the snow belts, mainly just flurries and a few passing snow showers expected. The Gulf of this afternoon, windy and cold, changeable skies, sun, clouds, flurries, blowing snow, and lake effect snow squalls. Couple 3-4 inches in some spots off to the east of Lake Erie and Ontario in the belts. Little elsewhere, high temperatures in the 20s. Tonight, flurries and snow squalls. Heaviest amounts of snow will be southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario, several inches easily, little elsewhere. Low temperatures mostly in the teens. Tomorrow, sun, clouds, and areas of lake snow in the 20s. Not as cold Sunday, a few morning flurries, otherwise partly sunny. A high then in the 30s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, you're plugged into the Noon Report, a Friday edition on Family Life.
And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection. Fridays during the Noon Report, we give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Harrisburg and Albany with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are, as always, Michael Geer with the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Jason, let's begin with you. If I had a dollar for every New Yorker who says I'm sick of things, I'm moving out of this state, I'd be a millionaire. But you have got an event coming up to, in a constructive way, sort of fight back for your rights in the Empire State. Tell us about Legislative Day 2020, which is coming up soon at the state capitol.
Yeah, Legislative Day is our annual lobbying day in Albany. Last year we had about 1,200 people. We're hoping to push to 1,500 this year. And it's really, we're just believers all across the state come to the state capitol. They hear from speakers like Michael Ferris of the Alliance Defending Freedom. You're going to hear from folks like David Barton of Wall Builders. And we believe that this is going to be a strong emphasis on parental rights, whether it's the HPV vaccine or it's going to be mandatory sex education or a host of other issues. Parental rights seem to be moving to the forefront this legislative session. And we want to give parents the ability to speak out for their rights before the state legislature coming up in just a couple of weeks here.
All right. We'll talk more about parental rights, a story out of Rochester that should please our audience in a little bit. But Michael, while we're plugging events, you've got one coming up here in May, May 18th, if that's a Monday, at 11 a.m. State Capitol, the first ever March for Life in Harrisburg. Why did you feel it so important to do this year?
Well, there's so many reasons why it's so important that pro-life Pennsylvanians come to our state capitol and express a voice for the unborn, for the sanctity of life from conception until natural death. The most recent reason to point at is Governor Wolf's proposed budget includes $3 million for Planned Parenthood, the nation's biggest abortion store, basically millions of abortions that Planned Parenthood does every year. The governor has $3 million in his proposed budget for Planned Parenthood. That's, in my view, payback for the millions of dollars that Planned Parenthood gave the governor for his election and reelection.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that we have going on, and we need to take a stance for the sanctity of life and tell our legislature and our governor no more of this.
Yeah, Teresa Miller doubled down on that yesterday, saying, no, that money's not going to abortion, but we'll see. That's kind of some fuzzy math how they break that down. Jason, you mentioned parental rights, a big issue at this year's Legislative Day event. When it comes to sex education, that is a huge issue. There's legislation in Albany that would mandate sex ed as early as kindergarten. One of the mayors in upstate New
New York. Not a mayor that you would think would take this stand is saying, hold on a minute, let's hit the pause button here. Explain that if you would.
Yeah, Mayor Lovely Warren of Rochester, New York, recently came out opposing both the mandate for HPV vaccinations and also the mandatory sex education the legislature is considering. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why she did that is she had a meeting with a local pastor, Pastor Kevin Pesky of First Bible Baptist Church, who also serves as a Christian school through his church. He met with her. They had a conversation about parental rights, and Mayor Lovely Warren has come out on our side in both of those issues. Now, she's a progressive mayor. She's very liberal in many respects, but she gets the parental rights issue, and that should give us hope all across the state that one pastor, one Christian school administrator can make a difference with elected officials in standing up for parental rights.
All right, we'll see where that goes. Philadelphia's faith-based foster care in the news. The U.S. Supreme Court agreeing to hear this case probably won't happen until the fall, Michael, but this is a huge issue. With a 5-4 conservative majority now, what do you think the chances for success here will be?
Well, we're very hopeful in that case, and it has to do with the city of Philadelphia telling Catholic Charities that they cannot do adoptions or foster care in that city unless they agree to place children in same-sex couple homes or in the homes of unmarried couples. And what's notable about this, it takes four justices to vote to decide to hear a case. So we know in all likelihood there's probably four that are supportive of the Catholic Charities in this case. And in all likelihood, they wouldn't have chosen to go ahead and hear this case unless they had some confidence that we'd get a 5-4 decision in support of Catholic Charities in this case. Of course, we don't know for sure how it's going to play out, and the case has to be heard, but it's a very positive sign right off the bat.
All right, and again, we'll get another big story out of Philadelphia in just a minute, so hold tight there, Michael, but let's go back to Albany. Jason, the governor this week enlisting the support of houses of worship to help get the word out about the census. What's his thinking this year in kind of coming alongside clergy with this once-a-decade headcount?
Well, I think the governor is paying very close attention to the fact that we're probably going to lose one or two congressional districts based on population loss here in New York, and with that also comes a loss of funding if our numbers come in underreported, if you will. I do encourage people to participate in the census. It does matter, especially upstate. You want to make sure that you have representation in matters of funding and in congressional matters. But my concern is the governor, I believe, is specifically targeting undocumented immigrants, illegal aliens, encouraging people to register in that census as residents of the state, even though they may not be citizens of this state.
All right. If you're just joining us, this is Capital Connection. Every Friday during the noon report, we take 10 minutes and spotlight the weighty issues in the news from Albany and Harrisburg with a couple of guys who definitely know what's going on. They are in the weeds, as they say, Michael Gear at the Pennsylvania Family Institute and Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedoms. Michael, let's go back to Philadelphia and these heroin safe zones, which we have talked about on this program before. You've raised awareness about this and how dangerous you think this will be. But barring legal action, the first in the nation heroin safe zone is due to open in Philly next week. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like after a court ruled that these were not in violation of federal law. Again, we think there'll be additional court action. But there's also significant protests already erupting in Philadelphia with residents in South Philadelphia, which is where the first of these is scheduled to open next week, saying that they basically have been ambushed. This place where they want to put this injection site, so-called safe injection site, is a place where it's a kind of a shopping district. There's schools and a daycare center right nearby, and residents are up in arms about this because of what they think it's going to cause in their neighborhood. We think it's a dangerous precedent to suggest that we're going to give in to the opioid epidemic and just let people basically inject themselves and continue this dangerous addiction and dangerous practice with government sanction.
Jason, Siena College put out an interesting poll this week. I'm sure you saw it. It showed that six of the, I think there are now eight, Democratic presidential candidates still left standing would beat President Trump in New York in a head-to-head matchup. But still, this very same poll showed that nearly two-thirds two-thirds of New York voters think the president will win re-election. Explain that, if you would.
Well, I think it shows that here in New York, folks are saying that those candidates, though they may still be standing, are hobbling to the finish line. The reality is that New York, California are outliers. And then there are a lot of places in middle America that recognize that the country is not ready for a Bernie Sanders socialism, and that ultimately they believe that Donald Trump will be victorious in November.
Yeah. Joe Biden, Michael, is polling well in Pennsylvania, native of Scranton. A lot of people think he'll win that in April, but he could be in trouble if he doesn't pull off a slam dunk tomorrow in South Carolina. Officials are saying he's got to win that. How worried are Pennsylvania Democrats about a Democratic socialist like Bernie Sanders headlining a presidential ticket? What kind of an impact could that have on those down ballot races in a state like Pennsylvania?
Well, this is happening around the country. A lot of sort of mainstream, quote unquote, Democrats or Democratic operatives are concerned about a Bernie Sanders candidacy, and that's true here in Pennsylvania, although he is right now in the latest poll the only Democratic candidate that shows the ability to beat President Trump in Pennsylvania, interestingly. But I think as his candidacy, if it continues in Pennsylvania and word comes out about what he really stands for and stopping fracking and coal mining and so many other things that are part of his agenda, I think his support is going to diminish. And the other thing is the bulk of his support is among young people who historically don't vote. And Pennsylvania is a state where voting skews much older than many other states.
All right. That will have to be the last word this week. But if you're interested in attending Legislative Day 2020 at the New York State Capitol, just a few weeks away now, Jason, where can they go and get that done?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
And registers, well, March for Life in Harrisburg will be here before you know it in May. Where can folks find out more, Michael?
PAfamily.org.
Great show as always. It's called Capital Connection. It comes your way every Friday during the Noon Report. You can also find it online anytime at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Arctic cold arriving on a secondary cold front will mean more lake effect snow in the snow belt areas of our region, and that will produce some rather tough travel. If you're not in one of the snow belts, mainly just flurries and a few passing snow showers expected. The Gulf of this afternoon, windy and cold, changeable skies, sun, clouds, flurries, blowing snow, and lake effect snow squalls. Couple 3-4 inches in some spots off to the east of Lake Erie and Ontario in the belts, little elsewhere. High temperatures in the 20s. Tonight, flurries and snow squalls. Heaviest amounts of snow will be southeast of Lake Erie and Ontario, several inches easily, little elsewhere. Low temperatures mostly in the teens. Tomorrow, sun, clouds, and areas of lake snow in the 20s. Not as cold Sunday, a few morning flurries, otherwise partly sunny. A high then in the 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, have yourself a great weekend. Finally, this Friday, an 11th grader from Kentucky teaching all of us the most important life lesson there is. Kindness. Brandon Caudill put that virtue to the test by writing a note on his test. It read, quote, "Can you give my bonus points to whoever scores the lowest?"
I just wanted to help someone out that day. It didn't matter who they were.
Caudill says he knew some of his classmates would struggle with that history test.
There's a lot of dates and locations and times and a lot of things that's hard for some people to remember, because I used to struggle pretty hard. So I felt for him, and I was like, well, let's see if he'll give them the bonus points.
Teacher Winston Lee says after seeing Caudill's note, he just had to share his story.
I have to let people know that there are kind hearts in this generation and with this class and school, and you know, compassion and kindness are still out there.
Winston says he was so proud of Caudill that after seeing the note, he snapped a photo of it and posted it on Facebook. As for those extra points, Winston says they helped another student pass that test. Could have used that kid in my class. That is the world we live in this Friday. As always, thanks for coming along. Have a great weekend, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.